by faith. Thank you, Father, for the honor of ministering your word. We give you all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, I tell you what, let's go back. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been before you. But let's go back to Psalm 37. Hallelujah. I think I told you this, that the Lord spoke to my heart concerning Psalm 37. And I can't say this enough. The word of God would never fail you. But what the word of God will do for us is stabilize us. This world that we live in right now is full of fear and uncertainty. And I cannot stand before you and tell you that I have the answer for every situation in life. I can't stand here and tell you that I have all the answers to your questions that you might have. That's the reason I love that song so much that we sing around here sometime. That we know that He holds our future. Everything I know and don't know is in His hand. That's called trust. You listening to me? Let me say that again. Everything that I know and don't know is in His hand. Now, hold your place there at Psalm 37 because that's where we're going. But I want to share a couple of verses with you from the book of Proverbs. Listen to me very careful. Just stay with me on this, will you? Jesus, as He was talking to His disciples about things to come, they was asking Him about the temple. You'll find this in Matthew chapter 24. They was asking Him questions about the temple, and the response He gave them was not what they was expecting. But He told them that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. That the temple would be destroyed. And then He proceeded to tell them some other things. One of the things He told them concerning the future, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. Okay? In other words, folks would be talking about wars and threatening each other, nations, leaders and so forth, threatening each other, daring each other, doing all that, all those rumors of wars going on. Jesus said that would be happening. And he even talked about some other things too, such as earthquakes and that sort of thing would be happening. So Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. But you know what he said? You ready for this? See that you be not troubled. Now, a lot of times when we hear about wars and rumors of wars and nations threatening each other and all, you know, you can get upset. You know, there's some things going on in the news right now. This, I guess we'll bring some clarity on it. We'll see. But Jesus prophesied that these things would happen. But we are to see that we're not troubled. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed. And we are confident that everything that we have entrusted to him, he's going to keep it. It's safe in his hands. Are you listening to me? It's safe in his hands. That's the reason I'm so glad I'm born again today. Some of you folks that's listening to me on by way of the internet and whatever capacity that may be, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I strongly recommend and suggest that you give your life to him, that you surrender your life to him, because he is our ark of safety. You hear me? He is our ark of safety. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I came over here to Proverbs. We're going back to Psalm 37. But in Proverbs, I don't think I told you what chapter, did I? Third chapter, please. Third chapter. Most of you probably familiar with these two verses, but it still ministered to us. Faith comes by hearing the word, don't it? And hearing is a continual thing. Not having heard, but continual hearing. So now in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, this is our instruction from the word of God. Are you still here? I don't want you to miss this. These are our instructions from God's word. Trust, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see that? That's not a suggestion. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Y'all have it? Amen. Let me read it again. Because you have to understand something. It, especially in the day and time we're living in right now, It's always been the case, but it hadn't gotten any better. There's so much going on right now, things that are fighting for our attention, and things that pull us away from God's word. I want to tell you something. We need to be ready and prepared for whatever tomorrow holds. But if you're in Christ Jesus, it's not going to shake you up, because Jesus said, see that you be not troubled. Because you know in whom you believe. Because you know who you trust in. And you are hiding continually. You are hiding his word in your heart. In your heart. Not just in your head. You're getting it in your heart. I mean, there are folks that can quote you all kinds of scripture. I'll quote me, I'll quote you and everything. But some of them mean as snakes. It's all in their head. It's in their head. Yes, the word of God should be head knowledge, but you got to get it down here in your heart. Amen. Let me read 5 and 6 one more time, then we'll go back over to 37 some. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Somebody shout amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now, I'm back in Psalm 37. And in this Psalm 37, it talks a whole lot about the wicked and their future. And they don't have a bright future. Unless they repent of their sins and give their life to the Lord. They don't have a bright future at all. Amen. And things of you know, sometimes people think, man, I got it made. I got it made. And as I used to hear, especially when I was in service, and maybe even some in high school, they would use this old phrase. Maybe some of you guys have heard it. That's around my age, you know, you hear people say things like, man, I got it made in the shade. Anybody else ever heard that? All right, yeah, this. Amen. So that ain't necessarily so if you don't know Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So in Psalm 37, we're told, and I've covered this, but we're told not to fret because of them that do evil and do things their way, lawbreakers. But we're told, verse 3, Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, right? Trust in the Lord and do good. Look at somebody and tell them, say, you trust God and do what's right. Amen. You do what's right. We're told to trust in the Lord and do good. We're told to delight ourselves in the Lord. Let Jesus make your every day. Hallelujah. Commit all your ways to him. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him. Commit your ways to him. My future is in his hands. Listen to me. I do not want a future without Christ. Can I tell you something else? I do not want anything spiritually, materially, financially, that God's blessings is not on it. Now, some folks may get confused. You say spiritually? Yeah, they're good. They're spirits of darkness just like the spirits of light. Amen. I hope you don't dial one of them telephone numbers asking someone to tell you your future, asking do he or she love me or not. Stay away from that. You go to God. You go to his word. Amen. So, we are to commit our way to the Lord, trust in him. And we have a promise, by the way, that he'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. The fourth thing we are to do is rest. Folk find that hard to do. Let me, I know I've covered this already, but I want to say this. In the time that we're living in right now, we still should rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Our circumstances around us would be contrary. But you know what you have to do? Press in. You have to press in. There can be a thousand things knocking on your door, begging for your attention. Sometimes you just need to leave your door closed and rest. Even God himself rested. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. What did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Well, if God rested, don't you think we need to rest sometime? And now I'm talking about physical rest, but there's emotional rest and all of that. So sometimes we just need to rest our minds. Sometimes things running through our heads. What am I going to do about this? How am I going to solve this problem? Oh, this, oh, that, oh, that. Rest. Are you listening to me? Or am I, my words bouncing off the ceiling? Your mind can get tired. And when your mind get tired, sometimes you get cranky. Wow, I didn't get not one amen on that one. Well, curl your toes. But it's the truth. We can get cranky, snappy. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that I pastor the perfect church. We talking to somebody else. But sometimes we just need to rest and relax in God's promises. You know, God says he's got this, so I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to rest in him. I'm just going to pray in the spirit, pray in other tongues. I'm just going to read his word. And sometimes, are you ready for this? Sometimes you just need to lay everything down and take a nap. Rest. Physically, emotionally, rest in the Lord, knowing, hey, God's got it, and I'm trusting him. But you got to press into it. Otherwise, your mind won't shut off. Things will consistently calling on you and pressing on you. No. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Let's go on a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. I think we may have stopped here. It's been a couple of weeks. But I remember reading this verse. Verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. The little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, don't misinterpret what the Word of God is saying. God is not saying that he wants you poor. That's not what the Word of God is saying. Okay? Poverty is a result of the curse. But if you don't have anything, or if you have very little, materially speaking, but you have a hunger for God. You have a hunger for the things of God. That's better than the riches of the wicked. Because let me tell you something. If you're hungry for God and you are seeking God, you have his attention. You ever notice something about the human race? They tend, many of them, thank God, not all of them, but some of them tend to worship things that are not God. Moses went up into the mountain to be with God. What was his church members doing? Somebody had the bright idea, let's build us a calf to worship. Say, what? And until this day, to this day, folks are still worshiping earthly things. When we're told to worship God. And one of the easiest things to worship is our own possessions. In other words, we trust in our possessions more than we trust God. You're still with me? The Word of God says we can have little materially at the moment, because if you trust in God, that's not going to last. That's going to change. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you can have very little materially. But if you trust God, you got everything you need. You listening to me? Let me read verse 16 to you again. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Turn in your Bibles. We probably not going to go past this verse today or this evening. But turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Folks, whatever you do, trust God. If he blesses you with millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, continue to trust God and not in what you possess. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 12. I'll pick it up at verse 15. Well, I pick it up verse 13. It was this guy. He says one in the crowd. He said, then one in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So evidently, they were having some issues over the inheritance. Verse 14. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then listen to what Jesus said in response to that. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Possessions are to serve us. We're not to serve them. Hallelujah. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods.'" Listen to this. You ready for this? "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided. Now let's take a look at verse 21. Jesus is still talking here. He's still teaching. So is he who lays up treasure for himself. Now, let me stop right there. I will read the rest of this verse. But see, some folks would stop right there and tell you, I told you the Bible said God wants you to be poor. God don't want you to save nothing. You do this, that. That's not what the verse is saying. On three, I want you to read it. Y'all listening to me? Don't you have? On three, I want you to read it from the screen here. One, out loud. One, two, three. And is not rich towards God. That's the key. Because you can be, as they say, filthy rich, but if you don't know God, you're still poor. Abraham was a rich man, but he knew his God. You listening to me? This man had an abundance that year. He tore down his barns, built bigger ones so that he could store his goods. He did all that, but he wasn't rich towards God. And I suppose, of course, he died, right? So I suppose he went to hell, left his riches right here for somebody else, for the kids to fight over. Amen. I believe the word of God when it tells us, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as what? Even as your soul prospers. Jesus himself said, give. And it would be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over would men give unto your bosom. Because with the same measure that we meet or give, it will come back to us. Amen? As a matter of fact, that's a scriptural law of sowing and reaping. Amen. But we got to make sure that we remain balanced. God is always first. What did God tell the children of Israel? He says, thou shalt have no other God before me, because I'm a jealous God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine some rich person thinking, I sure hope Jesus don't come back, because I sure don't want to leave my money and all my possessions and my mansions and my expensive cars. That stuff gonna burn. One day it's all gonna burn. But what? Guess what? Thank God he will meet our needs while we are in the earth. G- Guess what? David don't need a thing that he used to have. Solomon don't need a thing that he used to have or used to own. Abraham don't need a thing that he used to own. That was only while he was on the earth. And as I conclude, what am I saying? God should be first in everything. Obeying God's word should be first in everything. And when God does bless us, he don't bless us to be stingy, does he? Amen. And that's the reason, even the saint of God that loved God with all their heart, they may not have very much at the moment, but they love God. They are better off than the rich who does not love God. And they can stand on God's word, which says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. And I hope that you confess those words. I hope you let those words come out of your mouth. If you have a need, or whether you have, maybe you don't have a need, but those words need to come out of your mouth. My God supplies all of my needs. Oh, by the way, that's in Corinthians. You know who he was talking to? Givers. He was talking to the givers. Praise God. Would you folks get anything out of that? Amen. Well, we only dealt with about one verse in Psalm 37. But should the Lord tarry, we'll be back. If he don't tarry, we'll all meet on the other side and rejoice. Glory to God. It's an exciting time to be alive. Father, we thank you for your word.